Well, Happy New Year, Brazos Point. I have a question for you. But first, I wonder what you think that question would be. Do you think it would be kind of a New Year's question, like, do you have any New Year's resolutions? Have you broken all of them yet? Is your Christmas tree still up? Yeah. Have you taken the lights down outside? If you haven't, are you still turning them on? Are you that neighbor? Are you still writing 2017 on your checks? I'm sorry, millennials. A check is this piece of paper. It looks like a dollar bill or something like that. It's the size of that, but you write on it and write your money amount. It works like a credit or debit card. Well, anyway, no, none of those are the questions that I want to ask you. The question I want you to consider this first Sunday in 2018 is kind of deep, kind of heavy, but it's very, very important. Why do you believe in Jesus? You know what? If you're following Christ, if you're a Christ follower, a Christian, why do you believe in Jesus? I know that's a deep question, but let's go there. Let's go there. And let me give you some things to think about. Is your belief a just because belief? Well, I just grew up that way, so I believe. Could your belief be a little bit superstitious? You would never call it that, but you're kind of afraid not to believe, you know, what might happen. Or could your belief be, is it based on feelings? I feel good. It just feels right believing. Why do you believe in Jesus? I want you to think about what drives your belief, why you believe in Jesus. I'll come back to that in a moment. Because there's some of you that's not a question you can answer if you're not a Christ follower. So I think you probably have asked the question of us. So why do they believe? Why do we believe? You may have wondered if you're kind of checking out the faith, or maybe you're just here with someone who is a person of faith and you're not at all. But you may be thinking, why do they believe? Do they know something I don't know? Is there something they have that I don't have? And those are really good questions. And January is a great time for questions because as we enter a new year, it's a time for new beginnings. It's a time when most of us in some way or another kind of push restart. This is the first time or perhaps the first time in a long while for some of you even to be in church. And just know that you've got company here too. That's pretty normal in church. If you do, if that's you, you probably have lots of questions and you come to a good place. Ask them. Feel free to ask me out in the foyer afterwards. Your questions. For some of you, you were here last week and the week before that and the week before that, but something inside of you is different this year. Something is challenging you to go deeper, to go further in this new year. You've heard the steady drumbeat about the Mid-County campus we're opening on Easter Sunday in the north part of Angleton, and you're just wondering what part you may play there, or you may be wondering what part you may play here. When 150 faithful folks pull out of all the responsibilities where they're serving right now and head north. For whatever reason you're here today, for whatever questions you have today, I want you to know where we are headed as a church this year. And perhaps answer some questions that you have, maybe some questions that you haven't asked yet, but you will. Here's what's coming. These first 3 months in every message series we have in the first 3 months are going to be like an arrow pointing to the future, pointing to our future, also though pointing to your future. In a small way, some of these messages, especially the first two or three, will be an introduction to our church for those of you that are new, or perhaps they'll be a refresher or a reminder of who we are for those of you who have already been here a while. But in a much larger way, in a much more important way, these series will be about the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ and the role that you play and how you play that role in the kingdom of God. We're looking at some big God-sized challenges this year, and we cannot meet those challenges without big God-sized faith. The series we begin today, as you've already heard, is Because We Believe. It talks about some of the most basic things of our church, or really any church for that matter. It talks about the things we believe and do. Because we believe certain things, you need to know that drives us to do certain things. Before we go there, though, let's go back to the question I asked. Why do you believe in Jesus? It's important. I want you to write this in your message notes. It's important that you know the why. Know the why. Know why you believe. Know why you follow. Really, why do you do this? If you haven't asked yourself that question, I really hope you will. Your journey with Jesus may have begun because of family or or perhaps fear, or maybe just your feelings. That may be how it began, but if that's all that is there, if that's all that is driving your faith, you may discover that your faith is not all that resilient, that your faith may not last when it's tested, when it gets hard. Or if you're just not sure why you believe, or maybe you're not sure that you believe, I think it may be helpful for you to look at some of the people in the Bible who first believed in and who first followed Jesus, to see why they believed, to see why they followed. Maybe you'll be able to identify with one or two of them, okay? So if you have a Bible, let's open it up to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew is in the New Testament of the Bible, so it's more than three-fourths of the way across. The Bible is divided into two parts, Old Testament, New Testament. The New Testament begins with the stories of Jesus. So go to Matthew. If you don't have a Bible, let us give you one. You can pick one up at the Welcome Center on your way out. Just grab one. I see them all over the place all the time, so please feel free to pick one up. Lots of people do. Well, as we read these three verses in the book of Matthew, it's early on in Jesus' ministry, and I'll just tell you, I used to be puzzled by these verses until I was reading through the Bible enough that I kind of saw how they fit in context. And to tell you the truth, I found these verses, if I was being honest with myself, just not believable, okay? It's like, it could not have happened that way. See if you know what I mean as we read along. Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 18. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. Remember those two, Simon and Andrew, okay? We're going to talk about them a lot today. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And here's the part that's just kind of hard to believe. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to be fishers of men, or fish for people. And at once, they left their nets and followed him. Doesn't that sound kind of crazy? I mean, they're at work, and somebody comes to them at work and says, hey, come follow me. And they just left work and said, yeah, we'll do this. Let's do this. That doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, why would somebody do that? Well, there is a reason why. Part of that reason is because this wasn't the first time they met him. You see, the New Testament of the Bible begins with four books or gospels, a word for good news, four biographies of Jesus's life and the life of Jesus with his disciples. Matthew is the one I read from, and they each tell it from four different perspectives, and none of them tell a comprehensive view about everything Jesus did. There's not enough books to write that down. But in the book of John, the fourth gospel, we see actually when Simon, or Peter, and Andrew first met Jesus. So let's go there. Hold your place in Matthew and flip across four books to John chapter 1. Go to verse 35. And we'll see when these two guys actually first met Jesus. John 1:35 says, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. Let me tell you who these people are, okay? This John is John the Baptist, not even the same John who wrote the book of John. It's a different John. But it's John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a very popular preacher or prophet in Israel that day. And everybody knew about him. Everybody heard about him. And most wanted to go see him. And he was calling everyone to get ready for the Messiah, God's Messiah, to appear. Messiah is another word for Savior or Liberator that the Jewish people had been expecting for hundreds of years. The Old Testament of the Bible has hundreds of references and prophecies about this Messiah. And when Messiah came, he was going to make everything right for the people of Israel. So now, when John the Baptist with his new disciples pointed to Jesus and said, look, the Lamb of God, that was code word that they understood for, that's him. That's the Messiah. That's the one Israel has been waiting for. So look at verse 37. When the two disciples, John's disciples, heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And he replied, come and you will see. Now, you might want to circle that because that's always been Jesus' invitation. Come and see. Come and see if you're not a Christ follower, or if you kind of are, but you really don't know why you believe, Jesus says, come and see. You don't have to believe up front, okay? You don't have to have faith to follow, to start following up front. Just come and see. So they went and saw. Follow with me. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Look at verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two. Okay, so that's how we know this is Andrew. Andrew was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. So this is when Andrew first met Jesus. He spent the day with Jesus. And then afterwards, we see in verse 41, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon, who's also known as Peter, and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Andrew brought Peter to meet Jesus. So Andrew and Peter have both met Jesus now. And when Andrew came back and brought Peter to meet him, look at what happened. Jesus looked at him, looked at Peter. Actually, he was looking at Simon at this point. He wasn't Peter yet. He looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated, that means translated from Aramaic to Greek, which when translated is Peter. Cephas, Peter, they both mean rock. Jesus is telling Peter what kind of man he's going to become. Now, they did not become followers or Christians that day. But Jesus must have made a great impression upon them, because when he did invite them to become disciples or followers of him, what we just read about in Matthew, they jumped at the chance. So let's go back to Matthew's account of when they actually started following Jesus. Look back to Matthew 4, 18 to 20, where you held your place, okay? As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They've already met. Changes the story here. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Why? Why would they do that? Because after that first meeting with Jesus, surely Simon and Andrew talked to one another about him, talked about the conversation they had. Who knows how long they all talked and visited with Jesus. They probably talked with each other. They probably talked with other people about Jesus. They probably talked with their dad about this Jesus. But now Jesus has come back by while they're out, and they've just come in from fishing, and they're right on the shore. And Jesus gives them an opportunity and a challenge. He says, "Come, follow me." And they chose to follow. Now, did they believe Jesus was God? Or were they just curious enough to check him out? They didn't really have a concept of what Messiah would be. Did they know that he would be the Son of God? They probably didn't know those things yet. And I don't really know what they believed about Jesus exactly. I just do know this. They took a big risk to walk away from their jobs, to walk away from their family business, and follow Jesus. They could not have had much of an idea about what following Jesus would mean. Yet something inside them said, "Let's do this. We may never get a better chance at real life than this right now." And I believe some of you who haven't yet chosen to follow Jesus Christ, you're feeling the same thing. You're thinking, there's something real about this. And you want to learn more. Well, as they spent time with Jesus, they began to follow him. As a matter of fact, we discovered that they followed with him and lived with him and went where he went for about 3 years. And as they spent time with Jesus, they began to learn more and more about him. And it got harder to follow him as Jesus continued to raise the bar, and they realized what it really meant to be a follower of Jesus. Several months or perhaps even a year or two later, we don't know really when, some of the followers of Jesus began to bail out. They just thought, "No, this is too hard. I don't get this. I don't understand this. Or I don't want to go in this deep." And they stopped. But not Peter, not Andrew. Go back to the book of John, to the 6th chapter, and we'll see why. John chapter 6, verse 66 says, "From this time," this is right after an event happened, and some people said, "I'm out." "From this time, many of his disciples," many of Jesus' disciples, "turned back and no longer followed him." Verse 67, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. The 12 refers to Jesus' 12 apostles. Peter and Andrew were two of the 12, had become two of the 12. The 12 apostles were the inner circle of Jesus, his most trusted followers. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked them. And Simon Peter answered, this is so key, he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have," and this is, man, this is so important, circle this, "we have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Come and see becomes come to believe. Because they went and saw. They came to believe. They came to believe that Jesus was God. They came to believe he had the words of eternal life. More than just what we see right now, more than just this life now, but life eternal. They no longer followed Jesus out of curiosity. They were all in. This is why they believed. I ask you, why do you believe in Jesus? Why should we believe in Jesus? Folks, there's really only one why that will last. The why is because he is God. Not just a good man, not just a teacher. He's God. Peter and Andrew came to believe that he was God because they spent time with Jesus. They followed him. He spoke deeply into their souls as he still does to us today. He challenged them to live for a purpose greater than themselves, which he continues to do with us today. And their faith galvanized, and they followed him. And these two guys followed Jesus for the rest of their lives. Now let's go back and talk about when they first started following him, how it began, why they first followed or why they first believed. Which came first, belief or following? Well, as we look at the two, for Andrew, it seems to be that belief came first for him. He believed John the Baptist's words, the one he was following, that Jesus was the Messiah, for whatever that meant. He believed that he was the Messiah. And when he got a chance to be a follower of this Jesus, he jumped on it. But it appears that Peter followed for a while. Maybe he followed because he trusted his brother. But Peter followed for a while before he declared his faith, his belief with the words, "We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." So for Andrew, it appears that it was belief first. For Peter, it appears it was following first. So which comes first, believing or following? Folks, I don't think it matters. We're not talking about when you become a committed follower of Jesus Christ. We're talking about how your journey begins, how you come to know Jesus. You see, faith comes easier for some than for others. You believe and you follow. And because you're following, your faith grows as you follow because you experience God moving in your life. And as you exercise that faith and God answers your faith, you begin to trust him more. And the next time some challenge comes up, you think, well, because I followed last time, it worked out, I will continue to follow Jesus and I'll trust him. And that trust grows and your faith continues to grow as you follow. But for others, and I think this is a lot of you, and maybe we don't speak to you as often. I think for some of you, though, faith is just a little harder to grasp. You're not so sure. I think your approach may be something like, Jesus, I don't even know if you're real. But I want to know. I'm going to take a step of faith or two and see if you really are real. And as you do, here's what I can promise you. As you do, Jesus meets you where you are. Jesus said, if you seek me, you'll find me. He meets you where you are. He begins revealing more and more of himself to you. And I can promise you that the longer you follow, the more you will believe. If you keep following and keep looking into this and keep seeking. Let me tell you a short story about actually an experiment that might help you understand why for some of you it's hard to believe or for some of you it's hard to follow, okay? I read about an experiment where a guy in North Carolina went to a mall and he tried to give $10 to people, just random people he didn't know. He tried to give out $10 and some people took it, but most people wouldn't. They wouldn't take the $10. They're just like, no, who's this, you know? One kid took the $10 and his mom made him bring it back. And he began to realize, it became obvious that people simply don't trust someone they don't know. It's like, who gives you $10 in a mall, you know? And so they backed off and they missed out on the $10. Well, maybe the reason you don't believe yet, or maybe the reason why you just struggle following is because you just don't know Jesus that well. I mean, you may just not know hardly anything about him. You're not going to learn that much just coming here on Sundays. And that's why I encourage you to read the Bible. That's why we have all these Bible plans at the Next Step Center to help you come to know him. You will come to know him as you read, as you come here, as you go to a small group. That will help you come to know him. So come and see. Come and see if you're having trouble following, having trouble believing. Come and see. Get to know him. I believe it could be a game changer in your life. Here's the deal, though, for all of us. At some point, At some point, if we keep believing and following, belief and follow, they become indistinguishable from one another. They lock in together, and you can't see which is driving the other. Is following creating more belief, or is belief driving the following? It's just intertwined. That's when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, a Christ follower, Christian. You see, write this down in your message notes as well. Belief leads to following. If you believe, you'll follow. Belief leads to following. And following produces greater belief. And it just continues on. It feeds itself. And because you believe, you follow wherever he leads. And there's a point in time when you believe that you will follow and you will do things with and for Jesus that you never thought you would, that may even seem strange to other people, perhaps even in your family, and you don't care because you believe. You follow. But the opposite is true as well. If your faith is kind of still at that starting point, or it's been at that starting point perhaps for years and it's never progressed, listen, if you don't believe, if you really don't believe, if your belief is driven more by family or feelings or even fear, you'll stop following at some point. You just will. And if you stop following, the faith you had will begin to fade. So how does it begin for you? Where is it for you? For me, I think faith came first. I came to faith as a child because I grew up in a home, in a church where faith was lived out in an authentic way. It was modeled authentically. And so as a child, I began to take steps of faith. As a teenager, I took more steps of faith. And then especially when I moved out of the house and became an adult, that's when I really started taking big steps of faith. But it's because I believed and I followed and my beliefs were confirmed with Jesus. But here's the deal. Coming to faith as a child is very different than coming to faith as an adult. It's a lot more complicated. I have seen plenty of people here who didn't grow up in that kind of a home, didn't see faith modeled authentically. And yet you believe now. I've seen plenty of people here come to believe because they chose to come and see, like the invitation Andrew accepted, Peter accepted. They took a few steps of faith, and as they took a few steps of faith, as you took a few steps of faith, your faith began to blossom. And here we are, believing and following, following and believing. And regardless of how we started, we're together. That belief and following have become locked together. So what do we believe? What do we believe? Remember, because we believe certain things, we do certain things. And once our faith galvanizes and the belief and following come together, it puts us on a journey where Jesus wants to carry us and take us. We, like Peter and Andrew, we believe Jesus is God's Son, the Holy One of God, who has the words of eternal life. Because we believe the Bible is God's word, we trust what it says. Because we believe in Jesus, we follow Jesus. Because we trust God's word, we follow Jesus. We follow his great commandment to love him and to love others with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And we don't even fully understand how that plays out in everyday life, but we keep letting that guide us and letting loving him and loving others be the watchword to show us where to go. Because we believe in Jesus, we value the worth of every human being, knowing back from in the beginning, God created all men and women in his image. So every person, whether they even believe in Jesus, bears the image of God and deserves deep respect and honor. Because we believe in Jesus and we trust the Bible he has given to us as God's word, we value what Jesus says about love and about marriage. And we follow those teachings about love and marriage because we believe we care about the sanctity of life, of all life, of even unborn life. The Bible says in Psalm 139, God says, I knit you together in your mother's womb. So we know that's where life begins and we value that life and seek to protect it. Because we believe, we care for the widow, we care for the orphan. And increasingly, we're learning to care for the immigrants, even when those teachings run counter to an ever-changing culture that has no foundation other than what I want to do or what feels right to me. And that is no foundation at all. And that's why so many people, what they said they believed 5 years ago is completely different than what they believe now. We have the foundation of God and his word. Because we believe. We embrace Jesus' great commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because we believe, we go. That is why we go to so many places around this county, around this state, around this country, and around this world to share the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ. It's why we go, because we believe. Because we believe, we gather together weekly in small groups with each other to encourage one another in the faith. I really, really, really hope that you will take advantage of being in a small group at least these first 3 months. Whether you're a member or an attender, please take the opportunity to join a small group. You can go talk to Ronnie. You can talk about this week, maybe tonight, what we're discussing right now. We'll discuss why you believe or maybe why you wish you could believe, but you don't. And it'll be a safe place to have those discussions. No judging. We're just trying to encourage one another and help and see if we see ourselves in each other. And maybe that helps us to understand this more. Because we believe, we follow, we go, we gather. You know, I think another reason some of us have difficulty believing, all of us do from time to time, maybe one of the reasons it's hard to follow for some of you or it's just hard to believe for others, it's because of sin. You see, sin puts blinders on us, and it makes us see upside down is right side up. It just messes with us. It puts fear in our hearts, and we fear the one God that we could trust, and we put our trust in things we can't that will let us down. And at some point, every one of us has to come to this point where we realize we're a sinner, and we need to admit that to God and ask Him to forgive us. And that may be the starting point for you. Is to enter, to understand your sin. If you've not been there, you can't pass that stage. Admit your sin. Ask God's forgiveness. He will forgive you. And as He does, His forgiveness will open your heart to believe and it'll free your feet to follow. You can do this. Start there. Let me kind of talk to the two different groups, okay? Do you believe in Jesus, but you just find it hard to follow, to take that next step with Him? Listen, I encourage you, take some bold next steps this year anyway. Take a next step today. Because I promise you, if you don't, your faith will fade. And you may drift off for months or years, and then come back and feel like you're starting at square one again. Don't do that. Take some next steps now. As a matter of fact, let me pray with you, okay? I just ask everybody to bow your heads, But if I'm talking to those of you that you find it hard to follow, just pray this prayer with me. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're God, but I can't really say I follow you. Give me courage to follow. Give me courage to follow where you lead. Amen. Okay, let me talk to another group of you. Is faith a challenge for you? Is faith a challenge for you? Do you find it just hard to believe? Well, that's okay. That's okay. Try following Jesus like Peter. Come and see. Come and see. See if following will ignite a faith in you that leads you to believe in Him. You pray with me now, okay? Pray with me. Just everyone, bow your heads again. Just say, Jesus, if you're really there, I want to believe, but I can't. Show me some steps to take, and I'll follow you. If you're real, if you're really real, give me faith. I can't work it up on my own. Father God, I pray that you'd be with all of us. Whether believing comes easy or we have to follow for a while before we believe, God, give us faith. Give us faith to believe. Give us the eyes in our heart that can see you in a way that you created us to see you. Give us feet that are free to follow you. Lord, let us put feet to our face and go where you lead us. I ask that in the strong and powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said earlier, when belief and follow come together, that's when you become a Christian. That's when you become a Christ follower. You step over the line of faith and you go, I'm in. I'm in. Folks, I want to challenge you as a church. Let's follow Jesus together this year. Let's follow him to new places and see what it does to strengthen our faith. I want to be fantastic to be at the end of this year, as we're looking into 2019 coming in and looking back at how God used us to do some mighty things in our community. And by mighty, I mean to lead other people to come to know Jesus Christ. And how more and more people are seeing the reality of Jesus in their lives and they're following. Let's follow and see how God wants to use us to do that.